Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We got a lot coming up on the show. A big Hugh breakdown coming up in about an hour about Nolan Smith. What an incredible playoff performance by the young Eagles pass rusher. We'll get to the A.J. Brown stuff, the book, maybe a little reading Gillo coming up in a little bit, and we will look at Wildcard Weekend as a whole and decide who we want to see on Sunday with the Vikings and the Rams. They'll play tonight that game in Arizona. Because, of course, of moving to the neutral site with the tragedies and the fires out in the Los Angeles area. Right now, we go to the guest line. The guy that was on the call yesterday for a playoff victory, 22-10 over the Green Bay Packers, Merrill Reese joins us. Good morning, Merrill.
Good morning. Feeling good today about the fact that there is still football.
Yes, there is. We get at least one more, and I'm expecting at least another one after that. Merrill, let's talk about yesterday and really the tone that was set right from the jump, Merrill. The opening kickoff, Oren Burks, what a hit and what a game-changing play there.
Yeah, it was. When you score in the first 2 minutes like that with a fumble in the opening kickoff, that just sets a great tone.
It did. And it was, Merrill, it was a very physical game yesterday. Hugh has mentioned this a few times today. Just, you know, from that play and then, you know, a little bit later in the game, you know, Nolan Smith coming around and taking on a block of a Packers offensive lineman. That player, Jenkins, was out after that. And it just felt like it became a very physical football game right from the jump.
Well, it did become physical. And there was a lull during that game where I felt that the Eagles should be way up. But the fact of the matter is, there was never a point that I felt that they weren't going to win. I mean, I know they got within 6 points. The Packers did at one point. But I honestly felt that everything was under control all the way. It was a very comfortable first win.
I agree with that. And you know, the score may have dictated, uh-oh, they're only up a score here. But every time they needed to respond, they did. And, Merrill, the one thing that gave me comfort, even when the game was close-ish, is this defense, Merrill. They've done it all year. They did it yesterday. That's a Packers offense that I know they were down some people, but they had averaged 27 points a game this year, and they didn't even come close to that. Just a dominant effort by this whole defense.
Yeah, it's a great defense. The only thing that makes me upset is the fact that they obviously have lost Nakobe Dean for probably the rest of the season, the rest of the playoffs. And that's a shame because I thought he was all over the field making plays. He has had a very special season.
Yeah, it is a shame, and the reports are coming in that this is the end of the season for Nakobe Dean. Even that play yesterday, he got hurt making a great play, blowing up a screen pass. So it continued right to the end for him. Merrill, what stood out yesterday for me on the defensive side was the play of Nolan Smith. It's been so much fun watching him grow up this year, Merrill, because last year he didn't play much. Early this season, wasn't much of an impact, but I don't know. I think it was around that Cleveland game that started to hit me that he's starting to make an impact here. And yesterday, I mean, he was all over. He's the youngest Eagle to have two sacks in a playoff game in history. I mean, he was really impactful yesterday.
You know, he is a great player. And last year, people were almost ready to use the B word about him being picked at the end of the first round. But Vic Fangio, to his credit, came in at the very beginning of the summer, and he said he is a good player. He is getting better. He felt he was very, very confident in him, and it seems like every game he has a sack. He is a really impactful player.
Yeah, that play where he ran on the inside and then ran outside to get Jordan Love was awesome. Merrill, let's talk about the offense. So the turnover early gets him the ball in a short field, and they score on a touchdown pass from Hurts to Jahan Dotson. Merrill, I can't remember, and I was asking Hugh if he could, and we can't think of one, where a quarterback sat in the pocket for 7 seconds. You know, sometimes a quarterback will run around, like the Donovan play in Dallas all those years ago. But to be able to sit in the pocket for 6.75,
yeah,
whatever
no.
it was, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, in the earlier game, I saw that happen with Josh Allen in Buffalo, where he sat back there and finally let it go. It was the same thing here with Jalen Hurts had all day, and finally Jahan Dotson cleared in the back of the end zone. You know, I wish they'd throw a little more to Jahan Dotson. I know they have great, great receivers, but Jahan Dotson is a very tough receiver, and he can be utilized a lot. We saw it last week when he was used with the backups, but he's a good player.
Well, that was he made a big play. I mean, that started the game yesterday, and we've been waiting for it, and there he did it. All right, Merrill, let's talk about Jalen and overall how he played. So it's interesting. When the week started, I think we thought, there's probably going to be some rust. He hasn't played in a while coming off the concussion. But he did start 6 for 6, including the touchdown. But then I think you used the word a lull. Merrill, felt like there was an hour, maybe more of real time, where they didn't complete a pass, but then they let it drive and Jalen throw the ball to Goddard and they score again. What did you make of Jalen's performance yesterday?
He did what he had to do. He controlled the game. He did not turn over the football. That's the amazing thing about Jalen Hurts. He does not give up the football. And there's one word that describes Jalen Hurts better than any other: winner. On every level in which he's ever played, he is a winner. I think next to Patrick Mahomes, he has the single most wins in the National Football League over the past 4 years. He wins games. He has confidence. It's spread among his teammates. And when he has to make a play, he makes a play. He made a play yesterday that kind of went unnoticed. But he raced to his left as hard as he could go to his left, and then he pivoted around and threw a strike to Devontae Smith down the left sideline. That is a very, very difficult pass to make, and yet he was right on target. And then, of course, he read the blitz and hit Dallas Goedert for the touchdown. He did what he had to do.
Yeah,
you know, if you look at the internet and you see the people talking and evaluating quarterbacks, they rave. They turn Justin Herbert into Superman, and yet he goes and throws 4 interceptions, and he's never won a game in the preseason.
Well, and you look through the games this weekend, Merrill. If you kind of remove the Baltimore and the Buffalo game, because those were pretty lopsided, the other three games that had some, you know, they were questionable who would win or how it would go, it was kind of tight at times. The quarterback that turned the ball over lost, right? Yesterday was Jordan Love, and last night Baker Mayfield had a big fumble at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, you mentioned Herbert, and yesterday it was obvious. I mean, Jordan Love was turning the ball over left and right, and Jalen did not. That's the one thing that even if it feels choppy, I would say about week 5, Merrill, he really has done an amazing job protecting the football. Very rarely puts it in harm's way.
And you cannot overestimate that, because it means so much. It means so much. Turnovers kill. We always say that turnovers kill, and that's what killed the Packers yesterday.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, Jordan Love had a lot of them, way too many. All right, Merrill, let's look forward to Sunday, and we'll find out tonight who the Eagles are going to play. Merrill, what do you think about this game tonight? Rams and Vikings, it's been moved to Arizona because of the unfortunate fires in Southern California. Do you have a preference who you want to see the Eagles play? What do you think tonight?
Well, my preference is I'd like to see them play the Rams, because they handle the Rams quite easily in California. My thought is they're going to play the Vikings, because I think the Vikings are the better team, and I think the Vikings will come here next Sunday, and it will be a very, very tough game.
I tend to agree with you on both of those. I'd rather play the Rams, but I think we're getting the Vikings at 3 o'clock next Sunday. Merrill, have a great week. We'll talk to you on the pregame, and it's going to be fun, regardless of who they play on Sunday afternoon.
Well, I feel good about the way this team is. I think they have really, really risen at the right time. They keep getting stronger, and I feel very good about them. Their coaching is great. I just think they have a great roster, and they're doing well. So let's keep our optimism, because there's a lot of reason for that. But it's going to be tough. Each step is going to be tough. But if they keep playing the way they're playing, they're going to be fine.
No doubt. Merrill, have a great week. We'll talk to you Sunday in the pregame.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
There he goes. Merrill Reese there, excited about it, and he wants to see the Rams on Sunday. All right, so Merrill, Hugh said it to us there. Let's react to it, and you alluded to it earlier, but the news is coming in through all the different reporters this morning. It's what we thought. N'Kobe Dean, it's a significant knee injury. Hugh, he is out for the remainder of the postseason. I don't know what this means for the offseason, for next year. We'll see how significant of a procedure he might need. But Hugh, let's just keep it in the moment. It's a big loss with N'Kobe now out.
Yeah, because, you know, he's a signal caller. He's the guy that lines everybody up, man, and he was having one hell of a season. And to lose that part of your defense, that's going to be kind of tough. You know, the one thing that makes this defense unique to me is the speed and their ability to cover. You saw a little bit of that was in jeopardy yesterday when N'Kobe went out. You know, so there's something where, you know, there might be a weakness in his defense. But what that means to me is when I think about that, that means that everybody up front has to pick it up just a little bit more to try to cover up for that deficiency of not having N'Kobe Dean out there.
So they're going to miss him. So I have two thoughts on this. One, my first, I just feel bad for him. He's had so many
injuries. He's had so many injuries, man. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I've reached out to him this morning. That we don't really say a whole lot. I just sent him, you know, told him to keep his head up and stay focused, and that was about it. But you talk about the tumultuous time that he's had here, man, and it feels like, I'm pretty sure for him, and it has been, every year he's been banged up.
Yep.
You know, and he's had to miss some significant time, so it has to be frustrating for him. But like I said, prayers are with him, man, and, you know, hopefully he have a speedy recovery and get back out there.
Yeah, so, and look, they're going to miss him for the rest of this postseason run. I don't know how long it will take him in the offseason to next year to get back, but that's a separate issue. You mentioned something, Hugh, that I noticed right away. When he went out of that game, the Packers started throwing the ball to Josh Jacobs more out of the backfield. That feels like a problem now moving forward. They got to figure out something there because we'll see who it is. Is it Kyren Williams? Is it Aaron Jones this coming Sunday? If we get to the title game, Jahmyr Gibbs is a real problem catching the ball in the backfield. That feels like something teams are going to try to attack now. Now, Oren Burks is all right. Like, he's a fine backup, but there's a drop-off. I mean,
N'Kobe Dean, you know, paid his dues, man. Yeah. He was doing a lot out there. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough
one. Yeah, it is. 215-592-9494. The other thing that struck me when I started seeing all the injuries this weekend, specifically in the game we watched, like all the Packers dropping like flies, and the Kobe went down, just how much of an advantage that one bye is. Like, the Chiefs and Lions got to sit back and relax and watch. Meanwhile, everyone that played got banged up yesterday.
Got beat up a little bit.
Yep, yeah. It's just that bye is it helps, and doesn't mean it's everything, but it certainly helps. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines here as we react to yesterday. What hit you the most, the defensive dominance or the up-and-down play of the offensive passing game? Derek is up on WIP. Hey, Derek.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Derek?
Man? Yo, shout out to the beard, Hugh. That y'all look all right on you, though, because, you know, you real like Wakanda-like, so that y'all kind of come out a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was festive yesterday.
I appreciate you.
I like that, y'all. It don't look as bad as it would look on another person. Like, if you was, like, real light-skinned, that would look kind of goofy.
Like me, yeah. Like, if you
don't look... Yeah,
If you were as pasty as me with a green beard, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a 302 you if I see you like that, bro. You don't look like Sirianni when he shaved his head, you know what I mean?
Maybe even worse.
They won 10 straight after that, Derek.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, like, last week we was all like, even me, I was like, hey, I'm a little nervous. He's rusty, you know. Devontae ain't practiced. AJ ain't practiced. The offense looked real rusty. They really didn't get a rhythm and all that. But on the real, I just feel like all year the Eagles have looked just like that, right? And every Monday, we say the same thing, right? In order to beat another team, they got to play a whole lot different. Da, 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 da. Like, their formula is their formula, man. And we got to rock with it until otherwise. Like, once they lose, then we can say, like, you know, this ain't good enough, that ain't good enough. But that was their 15th win yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of their games, to me, they look just like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, Hurts, I'm not going to make an excuse for Hurts because he didn't play his best game. But he did. He did some things good. Like, he ran the ball a lot tougher than I thought he would run the ball yesterday. Like, he took some hits yesterday. You know what I mean?
He did. There was the one. Do you guys notice the one where he ran to the left side?
He
got flipped upside down. And if you watch there was a replay right after. Hit his head. And my first thought was, are they going to send him to the medical tent just to get checked out? I guess they didn't, and he obviously was fine. But I was like, uh-oh. Yeah, I want to make sure he was all right.
Yo, real quick, before y'all cut me off, I was listening to the post game last night, and I wasn't aware that they said when Hurts went out the game against the Redskins and he tried to come back in, and then they asked him about that. Like, he didn't remember none of that happening. So his concussion was a lot more severe than I thought it was. I thought that he could have played the next week if he had to. But obviously he couldn't. So he was a little messed up from that concussion. And I think A.J. Brown, I think that he was – if you watch it, like, I tried to watch the game over again this morning just to support my argument – A.J. Brown ain't looked like A.J. Brown yesterday.
I agree with you, Derek. He was not running like himself.
He might have been more of a decoy yesterday than he was like a factor, because you feel like Hurts wasn't even really looking his way. if you watch that game over again, like, Hurts didn't look his way a lot because he just felt like A.J. wasn't A.J. You know what I'm saying?
Derek, I agree with you. I just felt he was running
he was
at, like,
all game.
Yeah, I thought A.J. was running at, like, 60% of what he normally does. Derek,
yeah,
on that tush push play,
like, if that had been a regular receiver that was healthy, they could have laid out a little bit for that, but...
That was a bad throw.
He was a little, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, and I agree with you on AJ. Derek, we appreciate it, man. Here, would you, just physically, AJ, because we know he had the knee issue and he didn't practice in it last week. He looked a step slower than normal
to
me.
Yeah, like he was hobbled a little bit. Yeah. That's something that you're concerned with. And maybe, you know, I know we're going to get into it, but I think reading that book, maybe that was the way to keep him focused. You know, I think, because, you know, the unfortunate thing about AJ and the look is that we're already looking at it, and not you, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot out there, and interpreting it as being a negative, you know, because of the history and part of how do you feel about AJ? Because, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that take it way beyond football and talk about, you know, he's a cancer and all this other good stuff. So it just all depends on how you interpret what he did yesterday. But I'm pretty sure that was pretty tough for him on every level.
I mean, it's very rare he plays a full game, has one catch for 10 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about one of the great players in the league. I mean, yesterday he just wasn't a big part of it. And part of that was, I think the pass game just was stuck in mud for a while. Part of it, I don't think he was running that well. And Derek, Hugh mentioned that the fake tush push when Hurts threw it down the field. It was like, that was actually a cool design. It was not a great throw by Jalen. I also thought AJ was running 60 to 70% of his normal. So that's part of it, too. Anthony in Southwest Phillies. What's up, Anthony?
Fellas, good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Victory Monday, Anthony.
Happy
What's up,
Victory
buddy?
Victory Monday. Hey, listen, before I go, I've been on for like 4 hours, man, waiting to get on. So I just want to, I was on the morning show, and I want to say, give a thank you to Seth Joyner this morning, because I thought Seth was, I'm going to get to y'all in a second, but I thought Seth was exceptional, and he did exactly on that morning show this morning what I expected him to do, and I appreciate him for coming on the show and adding, giving some context to Jalen Hurts' performance yesterday. We won. That's what we want to do on to, you know, the next week, whoever we play. I also want to say thank you to all of the morning show, because I thought that Joe this morning said something that I thought was, he spoke to the situation with the Sixers and the arena situation and all that kind of stuff. And as a guy who moves around this city, does a lot of work in inner city communities and all that kind of stuff, initially I thought what he said was kind of out of touch, right? And what he said was that the situation was good. It's good for us as fans and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, and Rhea and John Ritchie, they did a really good job helping clean that up because, it's great for the fans, but it's great for those people who have been in Chinatown for a very, very long time. That's home to them. It's they built an, you know, a community there. I spent a lot of time down in Chinatown, so I think this is great for that community of people.
Anthony, I agree with you on that, and I was very against the idea of the new arena in where they wanted to move it. I did not like the idea. And I think this is best for everyone, Anthony. Like, when I saw the news yesterday, and we were about to do the pregame, so I really couldn't dive in, but I was happy. I still am questioning how the whole thing happened, but I think this is best for the city, Anthony. It's best for the teams, and it's best for the fans and those people who really, they got caught in the middle of all this nonsense with politics and stadiums and cities and all that.
There you go. And listen, I ain't calling to rip on nobody or anything like that. I'm just kind of pointing it out.
No, I'm glad you did. I mean, it's something that affects, you know, everybody. I mean, especially those people. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you want to say about the game?
So here's my point to the game. So yesterday played out exactly how I expected it to play out. Right. So everybody who is a Jalen Hurts fan, whether you're a fan or not, you know that. You know, I'm a basketball guy, right? I say this all the time. So you got certain guys in the NFL. Pat Mahomes, I'll compare him to a Steph Curry, right? From the moment he walks into the gym, he can just shoot it. That's what he does, right? He can shoot it. He can assist it. He can do all these different things. I never. I'm a huge Jalen fan, as you guys know, but I never compared Jalen to a Steph Curry. I compare him more to like a Damian Lillard, right? Somebody who Damian Lillard. I'm a big fan of him, and what he always says is, I can shoot it like Steph Curry, but I'm a guy that has to see the ball go through the rim a couple times first, right? I got to get the layups, and then I can start to pull out from deep. So when I look at the last two games, right, the Pittsburgh Steelers game and the going into the Vikings game, I think my questions more come to – I want to see more from Kellen Moore, because I think in those two games, I thought that he started to hit the nail on the head with – how he started to call the games for Jalen Hurts. That Pittsburgh game, he said, okay, let's start to scheme up some things where we're getting the ball out of Jalen's hands quicker, right? In that the next game against Washington, he saw opportunities to put in some design runs for Jalen, but what he did was a lot of read option stuff because he felt that the defense could not handle them on that end. Mm. So I know we want to continuously talk about Jalen, what he can and can't. Listen, if Jalen takes this team to the Super Bowl, he will have taken two coaches to the Super Bowl that never did that before they coached him. So, you know, let's be a little bit more appreciative of what we're seeing. A lot of quarterbacks coming out of what Jalen just came out of, you know what they would have tried to go into that game and do yesterday? Play Super
Too much,
Super
yeah, game. And they would have turned it over. You're right, Anthony. You're right. He's been good at Anthony. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, Hugh, the Jalen thing is so interesting because he did a basketball analogy, right? The Steph Curry and Dame Lillard. You know what? It always kind of evens out to the same thing with Jalen. Like, you look at his completion percentage and his numbers. But, Hugh, I always think of Jalen as very streaky. Like, if we're using a basketball analogy, he's a guy that finishes the game with five or six made threes, but he'll make them in stretches of three in a row and three in a row. Like, he was hot early, right? Mm-hmm. Then he went cold for a while. And then that drive where Goddard scored the touchdown, he hit those three straight passes. He goes in and out of rhythm. When he's in rhythm, Jalen can be as effective as any quarterback, but then he falls out of it, and it's like it stops for a while.
I look at Jalen like Jalen does, and I know this is going to sound bad for people to hear, but Jalen does enough to win the game. Because I think back in the one game that sticks out to me is the Buffalo game, and you look at how that was a back and forth affair. And was it towards the end he threw a bomb or he ran one? It was something that he did. But I remember him standing there. I remember him standing there like, you know, like a gladiator, like, are you not entertained?
Oh, when he ran for the touchdown and win the game. Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where I don't want to say he plays down to his talent. I think a lot of the way that Jalen played this weekend had to do with the fact that he was a little rusty. And, you know, his timing was off a little bit. But I can say that about the defense. I can say that about the offensive line, for the most part. There were plays where I can almost guarantee if you ask some of those guys, they probably felt like it took them a while to get going, to get their rhythm back. That's expected, especially when you've had off for a week. So they're going to correct those mistakes, and I don't think it's as egregious as some people might feel it is this morning. I think they're going to bounce back from this. That was it was enough of an effort, like I said last week, to beat the Green Bay Packers, because Green Bay Packers are a good team, but they're not as talented as the Eagles. They're going to clean up all those mistakes, and they're going to be ready to roll this weekend.
Well, if they are, they're going to win. And if they're not, it's going to be more of a challenge. I think what I know, Green Bay had 11 wins, and the Rams didn't, and the Vikings obviously had 14. I think this game is going to be a bigger challenge, just based on the two teams that we could see. I think it'll be the Vikings. We'll talk more about that later and who we want. I think the real challenge is starting now. 215-592-9494. We'll keep going on the phone lines. All your phone calls, say all your reaction. The Eagles 22, the Packers 10, a playoff victory. What hit you from the win? What hit you the most yesterday? Like, when you're sitting there watching it yesterday, was it the defense and their dominance, which just continued from where they've been all year? Or was it the passing game and the ups and downs throughout the game there with throwing the football? Plus, a funny moment from yesterday's game and what they had to say about it afterwards. A.J. Brown's book, What Does It All Mean? And maybe we'll dive into some passages from the book. All coming up, 215-592-9494, The Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.